This podcast is brought to you by ER Eats, supporting our restaurants and first responders. The Howie Carr Show is accepting donations to feed emergency room personnel as they battle the coronavirus. Go to HowieCarrShow.com and click on the ER Eats banner at the top of the page to donate.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
Today I'm instructing my administration to halt funding of the World Health Organization. Had the WHO done its job, the outbreak could have been contained at its source with very little death. The WHO's reliance on China's disclosures likely caused a 20-fold increase in cases worldwide, and it may be much more than that.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Let's step back again to what this really is. It is another attempt by the president to turn your attention to somebody else.
They feel like they've come up with a distraction to use at today's briefing.
The reason that we're in the crisis that we are today is not because of anything that China did. It's not because of anything the WHO did. It's because of what this president did.
The president is sounding very Baghdad Bob-like in the way that he's assigning blame to everybody but himself.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
He grew up on the ragged edge of the middle class in Scranton.
Not her again.
One thing I appreciate about Joe Biden is he will always tell you where he stands.
In the state of Ohio. I mean, Iowa.
When you disagree, he'll listen.
You think I thought you'd stand up and vote for you? You're too old to vote for me.
When you come up with new facts or a good argument, he's not too afraid or too proud to be persuaded.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
You're full of
All right, thank you.
No, shush.
And that's why I'm proud to endorse Joe Biden as President of the United States.
Unchained and unstoppable.
Biden ain't beating Trump.
They can't admit that he's in cognitive decline.
Those two face off, Trump's going to light him up like a Comedy Central roast.
He's going to kill him, man. I mean, it's such an easy target. It's like Mike Tyson versus a three-year-old.
It's true.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Welcome back to the Howie Carr Show. We're going to take some calls this hour, and the president continues to speak, but he's just going down a sort of a laundry list of business, and including the fact that his appointees, some of whom he needs to run, say, the Voice of America or judicial nominees, are tied up in the Senate, and he's complaining about that. And he's going to have the Agriculture Secretary, Sonny Perdue, come up and speak momentarily.
Howie, we also have a very special guest calling in at 6:30.
Oh, yeah?
It's someone you know very well who is not happy about this current situation with the stimulus checks.
Who that?
It's a surprise. That's all I can reveal. That's all I've been told I can reveal.
Okay, so we have a special guest at 6:30. Until then, we'll take some calls, though, and we'll. And again, if the president takes some questions or plays a video of MSNBC and CNN acting like Baghdad Bob, as Jim Acosta called the president yesterday, we'll play some of that. But I just want to go over a couple of stories before we get to the calls here. 1.1 million Texans have filed for unemployment. It's the second biggest state in the union, as you probably know. And so how does Politico analyze the fact that Texas, like the rest of the nation, is suffering under this lockdown? Economic meltdown gives Democrats new hope in Texas. That's Politico's analysis of the economic problems in Texas. New hope for Democrats. New hope for Democrats. Speaking of Democrats in the news, California mayor says he'll resign after comparing Trump backers to Ku Klux Klan. What kind of Democrat is he if he's going to resign after merely comparing Trump supporters to the Ku Klux Klan? You sure he wasn't comparing the Democrat governor of Virginia who's posed wearing in both blackface and a Klan outfit? No, he wasn't. The mayor of a Northern California city said this week that he'll step down after posting social media messages comparing supporters of President Trump to members of the Ku Klux Klan. Or as Joe Biden would say, the Ku Klux Klan. He's the mayor is William Kirby. He's a physician, and he's the mayor of Auburn, which is about 33 miles northeast of Sacramento. And in one of the Facebook postings or tweets, whatever it was, he shared a photo of a Ku Klux Klan hood. With the caption, "Good news for Trump supporters is that most of them already have masks." He expresses remorse, but being a Democrat, there's only so much remorse he can express. The mayor blamed Trump for his frustration. Oh, okay. It's, of course, it's Trump's fault. Meanwhile, business as usual in Springfield. Springfield police today charged the city man with drug possession charges after finding him with 174 bags of heroin during a traffic stop. Luis Otero, 23. He's a city man, you know. A city man. Charged with possession of heroin with intent to distribute, possession of cocaine, and unlicensed operation of a motor vehicle. 23 years old, a city man doesn't have a driver's license. It's rather odd, isn't it? I wonder what explains the fact that a city man doesn't have a driver's license. Luis Otero. No word on whether he's getting his, when he's getting his stimulus check.
Everything free in America.
844-500-4242. 248, the governor of Michigan has threatened 10 more weeks of shutdown, claims we can't travel to out cottages due to touching gas hoses at gas stations. You're making that up. Come on, Michigan. I know she's out of control, but that can't be the reason. So it's okay to touch a gas hose at a gas station in a neighboring state and you can drive to your cottage, but the gas pumps in Michigan are dirtier than in the neighboring states? Is that her excuse?
Howie, have you seen what the citizens are doing at the Capitol?
Yeah, I have. As a matter of fact, I got that up. Thousands of protesters on foot and in vehicles converged Wednesday on Michigan's Capitol to rally against Governor Gretchen Whitmer's stay-at-home orders in the state. Operation Gridlock created a huge bumper-to-bumper traffic jam around the Michigan Capitol building in Lansing. One of the organizers of the group said, quarantine is when you restrict movement of sick people. Tyranny is when you restrict the movement of healthy people. Every person has learned a harsh lesson about social distancing. We don't need a nanny state to tell people how to be careful. You know, Michigan is learning something that Barack Obama told us all many years ago. Elections have consequences. You elect a nitwit like this, and this is what she'll do. You know, she's a nuisance, in the words of H.L. Mencken, a nuisance, a pest. Steve from Cambridge, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Howie, I'm hoping, certainly, and praying that Donald Trump is our next president, including the presidency this time. But I'm a little worried that he's going to go in with Biden, and we're all making fun of Biden all this time, and Donald Trump may not be prepared to take him on.
Well, I think Donald Trump's prepared to take him on. I think Donald Trump is really running against this this national shutdown, though, isn't he? Isn't that the real opponent here?
Opponent, as I think you said on your program a couple of days ago, is Biden's going to be running with COVID-19 as a vice president and a poor economy, which they're going to try to blame on Trump.
Right. You know, and again, you know, people are going to come out of this and they're not going to have a job. They're going to be broke. And, you know, I mean, Trump's doing the best he can, but this is a tough hand that he's been dealt. And I hope he can play it as masterfully as he's played all of his other hands over the last 5 years. But you're right, it's going to be tough. And I mean, even running against a nitwit like Joe Biden it's going to be tough. I mean, I hate to say it, but as rude as that Politico headline is, I mean, that's what the Democrats are counting on. An economic meltdown gives Democrats hope, not just in Texas, but everywhere. I don't blame you for being concerned, Steve. Thanks for the call. Gary, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Gary.
Howie, it's a pleasure to speak to you. I wanted to talk to you because I work in the restaurant business, and I've been driving for Instacart for about the last 9 days, which a lot of people who drove Uber and Lyft and those kinds of services have picked up on Instacart. But a lot of restaurant people should be looking at this because I'm making great, great money. And I feel like I'm helping the cause a bit, too, because some of these people are afraid to go outside, afraid to go to grocery stores. They're willing to pay the delivery fee to have somebody bring it to them. And that keeps me in a job where otherwise I would have no income whatsoever. So I just wanted to urge your listeners, if they're wanting to do something to help out, signing up and making a purchase through Instacart will give somebody who would otherwise be in a hospitality job the opportunity to deliver to you and make some money.
This is delivery from grocery stores.
Yes, I drive for the company, and we go to BJ's, Costco, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, Wegmans, and it's very easy to sign up. And I've made as good of money as I was making in the restaurant business, if not better.
You know, it's interesting you say that, Gary. There's a story on the Globe website this afternoon. They said that 6 weeks ago, supermarket chains were struggling to get people to order and have delivery. People wanted to go to stores. Now they say there's just that they're knocking down the doors or the websites trying to get people to deliver. So that's you're on to something. And thanks for the call. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
The Howie Carr Show.
This is Mark in Williston, Vermont.
This is Marie in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Mike from South Attleboro, Mass. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
We're trying to find that cut from Gretchen Whitmer. She may have just said it very recently about how people have to be locked up in their homes or words to that effect because they're touching the gas pumps. How else do you put the gas into your internal combustion horseless carriage? Give me a break. Today's poll question is brought to you by ER Eats, supporting our restaurants and first responders. The Howie Carr Show is accepting donations to feed emergency room personnel as they battle the coronavirus. Go to HowieCarrShow.com and click the ER Eats banner at the top of the page to donate. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
So we are market testing some T-shirts that we're going to be selling with some of the proceeds going to our campaign ER Eats, supporting restaurants and first responders. So we wanted to know, which T-shirt would you be more likely to wear? COVID-19, Made in China, or Buy American, Support America? By the way, both of these shirts are made in America.
I like COVID-19, Made in China.
36% prefer that one.
Okay. We'll make the decision shortly what we're going to do. Sonny Perdue, the agriculture secretary, spoke just now during the break, and he said he wanted to reassure everybody, or the president wanted him to reassure everybody. He said the American food supply is strong, resilient, and safe. Plenty of food for all our citizens. And if you ever see a shortage, he said, it's a demand issue, not a supply issue. So he was quite reassuring. Is the president taking questions yet?
Not yet. Vice President Pence is on.
Okay, we'll take some calls here for a while. What are you going to do with your money? Or did you get your money? Or are you waiting for your money? I think a lot of people got their deposits today, and three people who didn't are my daughters, all of whom have jobs. I don't know what happened, but none of them got their check. Hey, what can I say? 844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. Meanwhile, yesterday, as you know, the president thanked all of the CEOs who'd helped out, and you know had from the and also the union leaders as well. But it really triggered one of the snowflakes on MSNBC. Chris Hayes, he said he tweeted out he hasn't felt this incredibly bleak since his darkest moments right after the 2016 election. I could not imagine at this moment. Could I have a violin, please? I need violin accompaniment for as I read this, Chris. I could not imagine this moment. Thousands of Americans dying a day. I got news for Chris. Thousands of Americans die every day, whether there's the coronavirus or not. An economic contraction to rival the Great Depression. And Trump just listing off the names of CEOs while congratulating himself for a job well done. He said he hasn't felt this incredibly bleak since he got his last overnight ratings and he got his butt kicked. Now he's even getting his butt kicked by CNN, according to the last week's ratings. 844-500-4242. That is the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. Here's some numbers from Minnesota. Powerline Blog is really doing a great job on this. You know, they're based in Minnesota. The governor there, Tim Walz, predicted that there could be up to 74,000 deaths. 74,000 deaths. So far, there are 79 deaths. The median age of the decedents is 87. Nearly 90% of the reported deaths have been over the age of 70. Most of the elderly decedents suffered with compromised physical conditions. Heart disease and hypertension were common illnesses among those who died of COVID-19, along with diabetes and heart disease and heart and kidney disease. And according to the paper, which is an apologia for the Democrat Farmer Labor Party in Minnesota. Of all the deaths reviewed so far, 98.5% had pre-existing conditions. And of course, they're not asking Governor Walz if he feels bad about predicting that there were going to be 74,000 deaths. I'm sure he thinks his measures prevented all those deaths. There are only 79. John, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, John.
Thanks, Howie. Those particular stats, were they based on one state, or is that cross-country, Howie?
No, that's just in the state of Minnesota. But there, you know, I think in Rhode Island, I saw today, 70% of the deaths are in nursing homes. About just under half of the deaths in Massachusetts are in nursing homes. Massachusetts has more deaths than the national average given the size of the state. It's probably apparently the deaths seem to be concentrated. It's densely populated areas. That's where the deaths are occurring. You know, whether it's New York or eastern Massachusetts. Thanks for the call, John. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr. Have you had enough yet of the volatility of the stock markets, down 1,000 or more points, up the next? Are you tired of watching that little box at the bottom of your TV screen that shows the market plunging hundreds of points or thousands of points? You need to get diversified with Orion Metal Exchange. You shouldn't be caught flat-footed in this roller coaster ride that the stock markets have been on the last couple of weeks. No matter what the reason, the coronavirus or the oil price war abroad between Russia and Saudi Arabia, you always need to be diversified, and that means owning some precious metals, gold and silver and platinum. Listen up. Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. If you haven't yet taken advantage of their no-obligation guide, it's still not too late. Give them a call today to learn more about gold and silver and other precious metals. Call Orion today at 1-800-912-2300. That's 1-800-912-2300. Call them right now at 1-800-912-2300.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
What we know is that COVID-19 can live on a stainless steel surface for 72 hours. Think about how many people touch a gas pump handle in the span of 3 days. And that's why we don't want anyone on the road who doesn't have to be there.
Yikes. I'll take Gina Raimondo any day over Gretchen Whitmer. Although maybe Gina Raimondo is going to see that tonight or hear that and say, why didn't I think of that first? I'm just complaining about people coming into the state of Rhode Island from Boston and New York, and they just asked about that at the press conference with the president. Oh, my goodness. Wow.
I think Mr. President, why did you have your name added to these coronavirus relief checks?
Well, I don't know too much about it, but I understand my name is there. I don't know where they're going, how they're going. I do understand it's not delaying anything, and I'm satisfied with that. I don't imagine it's a big deal. I'm sure people will be very happy to get a big, fat, beautiful check, and my name is on it. Yeah, go ahead, please.
A big, fat, beautiful check. And they're asking him about masks again. And he, as he pointed out, you were asking me about ventilators a couple of weeks ago. Now it's masks. And the woman with the ink. How will you control the flow of people between the states, mate, governor? All right, we'll go back to the press conference in a minute, but we have on the line our mystery guest, an unhappy American citizen. Unhappy American citizen, welcome to the Howie Carr Show.
Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Who is this?
Charlotte Carr.
Oh, unhappy American citizen. I'm sorry I didn't recognize your voice. People are asking me, Charlotte, do you and your sisters not have a bank account? Why didn't you get your money?
I'm one of the Americans that are part of this glitch that happened from the Get My Payment app where it says they don't know whether I'm eligible, even though I'd be eligible based on my 2018 and 2019 returns. And I have not gotten the money, and I don't know where it's going because I've moved in the past year, and it's just a lot of ambiguity, and there's no answers.
Do you have any, have you changed banks?
No.
Well, that should be the indicator. They just deposit. Shouldn't they be just depositing it in your account that you used when you filed last year?
Yeah, no, because I had my checks mailed to me. So what I wanted to do this morning was put in my direct deposit information, but it's saying they don't know whether I'm eligible, and it's this glitch in the system that millions of people are having today. And basically the IRS hasn't commented on it or provided a solution to the problem that a ton of people have, which is what I'm going through.
Well, we just talked to Jeff Weiner, who's our accountant for the business, and he said that it could be months before the paper checks go out.
I've already accepted the fact that I'm probably never going to get it just because of logistical situation. So I've already come to terms with that. So I'm going to need you to give me your credit card information to get me through until this ends.
This is why I have to keep changing my credit cards, because of lovely Charlotte. Thank you, Charlotte, though. Thanks for calling in with that complaint. Are the other kids going to call in, too? What's their gripe here? Let's go back to the press conference where we'll have some reporters asking some really pointed, nasty, snarky questions. Go ahead.
And it's embarrassing to me. He'll say, do you think you'll get that man approved? He's been saying that to me for a long time. It's because of the Democrats. And what we're doing is, and I think anybody here would do it, judges are a priority. A federal judge who's going to sit for 50 years, potentially, a young judge going to be sitting for, that's always going to have to be a priority. But because they're taking so much time and approving every, they're trying to put us through the mill. That's when you talk about partisanship, and it's never, ever happened before. You can look at every administration in the history of this country. Nobody, nobody has ever had hundreds of people not approved after 3.5 years. Go ahead, please.
What's the timeline for that, though? If Congress doesn't act,
well,
by when?
Look,
do you have a
they
date?
Know. They've been warned, and they're being warned right now. If they don't approve it, then we're going to go this route. And we'll probably be challenged in
recess
court, and we'll see who wins.
That's
but
what
when
he's
the court
say.
Hears that we aren't getting people approved, as Sonny would say, for 2.5 years for an important position that we need because of this crisis. We needed these people before, but now we really need these people.
President. When you talk about, back to the numbers for a second, when you talk about the numbers, the jobless claims are going to come out tomorrow. It's likely around 5 million more Americans putting their names in for unemployment benefits, but yet there are still a couple thousand people as well dying a day because of coronavirus. When you talk about opening up the American economy, or at least in parts now, how do you balance that decision out given both of those figures?
Well, we are. There has to be a
how
balance.
How many times
you
have
know,
they asked that question?
There's also death involved in keeping it closed. And I've gone over this with
exactly.
you, and I believe this so strongly. When you look at mental health, when you look at suicides, suicide hotlines, which are exploding, people losing their jobs. When you look at drugs and people that didn't take drugs and now they're becoming drug addicted because they're going through a problem, they have no job, they have no money coming in, other than the money we're getting them. We've opened up the coffers to a large extent. We're helping people. This is why I wish the Democrats would help us a little bit with it, because they should. It's purely partisan what they're doing, and it's bad for our country. But you know, there is death by having this strongly closed country. We have to get back to work. With all of that being said, we're going to start with states and with governors that have done a great job, and they're going to open it up as they see fit, and we're going to be right behind them, and we're going to be working. We're going to be supplying them with things if they don't have them. We want them to have them. We're going to be helping them with ventilators after this is over so that they can't say, oh, the federal government. We want them to have. They've had a lot of options. Many of the governors have had a lot of options over the years to buy ventilators. They didn't choose to do it. So we're going to be helping them to fill up their stockpiles. We're going to have plenty. And as I said, I'm very proud to do it. We're going to be helping other nations. We're going to be helping Italy, Spain, France, other nations. And we're going to be helping them strongly. I think Russia is going to need ventilators. They're having a hard time in Moscow. We're going to help them. We're going to help other countries that need ventilators. We're going to have a lot. You see it with General Motors. You see it with other companies that are producing. We're going to have hundreds of thousands of ventilators, and it's a great thing to have. Yes, in the back, please. Is anybody freezing? You know, it's very cold out here. So we can leave early, right? Okay, a couple of more. Go ahead, please.
President, why do we have 20% of the world's deaths from the coronavirus and we're only 4% of the world's population?
Well, you don't know what you have. Do you think you're getting honest numbers from some of these countries? Do you really believe those numbers in this vast country called China? And that they have a certain number of cases and a certain number of deaths. Does anybody really believe that?
Here's the story. She can't
believe that. We report everything. We're reporting the cases. And our reporting is good.
We're
reporting every death. In fact, I see this morning where New York added 3,000 deaths because they died. And they're now saying, rather than it was a heart attack, they're saying it was a heart attack caused by this. So they're adding. If you look at it, that's it. And everything we have is documented, reported. And what they are doing is, just in case, they're calling it this. And that's okay. That's okay. But we have more cases because we do more reporting. We have more cases because everything is down. But does anybody really believe the numbers of some of these countries that you've been watching and you've been reporting on? And then it's like they didn't have the big thing. There have been some really, really bad, heavily in really some countries that are in big, big trouble. And they're not reporting the facts. And that's up to them. All I know is we report the facts, and we're a country that's getting better. John, go ahead.
Mr. President, multiple sources are telling Fox News today that the United States government now has high confidence that while the coronavirus is a naturally occurring virus, it emanated from a virology lab in Wuhan, that because of lax safety protocols, an intern was infected, who later infected her boyfriend, and then went to the wet market in Wuhan, where it began to spread. Does that correspond with what you have heard from officials?
Well, I don't want to say that, John, but I will tell you more and more we're hearing the story. And we'll see. When you say multiple sources, now there's a case where you can use the word sources, but we are doing a very thorough examination of this horrible situation that happened. Go ahead, please.
In your many conversations with President Xi, Mr. President, did you ever discuss with him State Department concerns about lax safety protocols that had been reported to the State Department from the embassy in Beijing?
He reads every memo. He reads every memo that comes into the government.
About the laboratory.
Come on.
I just don't want to discuss
this. This was a story in the Washington Post. This was from 2018.
Tim Albia from Channel 9 Australia. There have been calls in our country for Prime Minister Scott Morrison to make funding for WHO conditional on reforms to the organisation. Wanted to get your thoughts on that and if you had any advice for Mr. Morrison.
Look, I feel very badly about the World Health Organization, but it's been a tool of China. It's been, as I say, totally China-centric. You take a look at everything that's happened. They've been wrong. I was all for it at the beginning. What do I know? I walked in. I said, World Health Organization, isn't that wonderful? And then you start to see all the mistakes. They didn't want us to close our borders to China, to Wuhan, specifically. They didn't want our borders closed. You take a look. Mike was there. We're all there. And they're criticizing me for closing the border. I did that very early. By the way, I did that very early while Nancy Pelosi was trying to have in San Francisco parties in Chinatown. Because she thought it would be great. She wanted to show that this thing doesn't exist. These are people. I'll tell you, we have some politicians on the other side that don't know what they're doing. If you look at timelines, you got to look at some timelines. But the World Health Organization, just like the World Trade Organization, I'm telling you, I call them, they have been treating the United States for decades so badly, and they've been so in favor of China. China took off when it joined the World Trade Organization. Because of what's happened. Think of it. They're considered a developing nation, and because they're a and we're not. Well, we're a developing nation, too, in my book, okay? We're developing, too. But the fact is, we have been treated so badly by these organizations, and believe me, I'm looking at that one, too. We're winning a lot of lawsuits right now that we never won before in the past. We're winning a lot of money that we never won in the past. That's with the World Trade. But with the World Health Organization, what's happened there is a disgrace. Here's the other thing. We pay $400 to $500 million a year. China's paying $38, $39, and $40 million a year. And
they're getting more bang for their buck, Mr. President.
This group. I could do that, too, if I wanted to devote full time to it or have some very capable people dealing with Dr. Tedros, okay? I could do it, too. I could do very well with that.
Okay, we're going to take a break here. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to The Howie Carr Show.
This is Jeff in Woodstock, Connecticut.
This is Laura Benner in South Burlington, Vermont.
This is Jimmy Mack in Falmouth, Massachusetts. And this is The Howie Carr Show.
Tomorrow is going to be a very big day. We're going to be speaking with the governors. We'll have some information on some openings. And again, we'll have some openings that will exceed our expectations. And they'll be safe. They'll be strong. But we want to get our country back. We want to get our country back. And we're going to do it. And we're going to do it soon.
So the president just wrapped up his daily press briefing. And, you know, it was the usual nonsense from the crowd, the nattering nabobs of negativism, as Spiro Agnew called them so many years ago. So we just wanted to play the cut of the endorsement from Elizabeth Warren of Joe Biden today. And again, she did the same thing this year that she did 4 years ago with Hillary Clinton. She waited until the primary was over to endorse the winning candidate. And she did it with the usual lack of class that has become one of her trademarks in addition to ethnic fraud. Cut 18.
He grew up on the ragged edge of the middle class in Scranton.
Huh. That rings a bell in my head. I don't know, ragged edge of the middle class. Where have I heard that before?
Is that you have to figure out who you are. I grew up in a family that was barely hanging on to the ragged edge of the middle class.
Is there an echo in here?
He grew up on the ragged edge of the middle class.
There it is again.
Howie, don't you think there's something egotistical about how Elizabeth Warren has to be like the last person to give her endorsement? She waited till the day after Barack Obama.
Yeah. You know, somebody said there earlier, a caller, I think, said she's just wants to be the vice presidential nominee. That's just not going to happen. And I was thinking about that earlier when I heard that she'd finally endorsed him. You know, remember, she set up that, what is it, the CPFB, Consumer Protection Financial Board. It's the Supreme Court is likely going to declare it's unconstitutional because it gets its money outside of Congress, which is totally in violation of the Constitution. But she wrote all that legislation, and she was supposed to be the first boss of the CPFB or the CFPB. I think it's CPFB. And the fact is, though, that she was such an abrasive personality and so obnoxious and so self-centered that nobody liked her. No senators liked her on either side of the aisle. And that's why she had to come back to Massachusetts and run for the Senate, because she couldn't get her dream job of running this thing. And they gave it to a former governor of Ohio. You know, being a legislator requires a certain mindset. You know, I'm not saying you have to be just a guy who marches in lockstep with the leadership, although that usually makes you rise in the leadership, whatever the legislature you're in, whether it's the U.S. Senate or a state legislature. But she can't play well with others. That's what it boils down to. She's just too obviously in it for herself and only for herself.
I also want to congratulate Joe Biden on his win in South Carolina. I respect his many years of service. But no matter how many Washington insiders tell you to support him, nominating fellow Washington insider will not meet this moment.
That was then. That was 6 weeks ago. Cut 20 today.
And that's why I'm proud to endorse Joe Biden as President of the United States.
What's with the music?
She always has to do some highly produced slideshow. Nobody cares. It was over 3 minutes long, too. At least it was shorter than Obama's.
I hope that was recorded music, because, you know, where's the social distancing? You know, you can't have a live band nowadays, can you? All the musicians are unemployed. The musicians are more out of work than bartenders are, for goodness sake. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.